Our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We hear these words. At one time you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to act like most people in our world do. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment, just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something that you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. Friends, the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Someone once said, if there were only a half dozen words in our vocabulary, grace should be one of them. Grace is the difference between the sinner's predicament and the believer's position. If we are to grow in God's grace, we must understand what happened to us by God's grace. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, you are saved by God's grace because of your faith. It is by grace that we are saved. There is no greater need in a person's life and no greater provision from God. Now, there are several truths that will help us understand the grace of salvation. And you are invited to record these in the study guide at the bottom of your bulletin as we go along. The first of them is this. You are saved by God's grace. This means that God has both initiated salvation and completed it. Let me repeat that. You are saved by God's grace. This means that God has both initiated salvation and completed it. Grace has been called the unmerited or undeserved favor of God. It is that, but it is also more than that. Grace is the desire and power to do God's will. The grace of God is one of his attributes, all of which are active. God expresses his love by giving. God expresses his grace to us by giving us the desire and power to do his will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, I am what I am by God's grace. God's grace works in us to do God's will. It's not accomplished by our own decision or choice. It cannot be accomplished by our will, only God's. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 further says that salvation is not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. In other words, it's not something that we can accomplish ourselves by self-sacrifice, or hard work, or by some religious ritual. God's word says salvation is not by works, it is by grace. Which brings us to our second truth. God's word is very clear on this point. Salvation is God's gift. It is not something you did that you can be proud of. I'll repeat that. God's word is very clear on this point. Salvation is God's gift. It is not something that you did that you can be proud of. Our third truth is this. Our focus on grace needs to be centered on the one through whom God's grace of salvation comes, Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that also. Our focus on grace needs to be centered on the one through whom God's grace of salvation comes, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 clearly affirm that salvation is possible through Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says that we are brought to life with Christ. Verse 6 says that we are allowed to sit in heavenly places together with Christ Jesus. Verse 7 tells us that God's purpose is to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And finally, in verse 10, we are told we are God's workmanship. We are God's accomplishment created in Christ Jesus. If we look in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we hear these words. Salvation can be found in no one else. Throughout the whole world, no other name has been given among humans through which one must be saved. And Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 say this. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Christ Jesus. This is how God saves us. Jesus Christ is the Savior by God's grace. Two important words in verse 10 of our Bible passage for today describe the nature of salvation. The first is the word accomplishment. Verse 10 says, we are God's accomplishment, establishing the fact that salvation exists because of God's work. Psalm 19 says that everywhere we look, we see the works accomplished by God's hands. But the greatest masterpiece is a new creation in Christ. The second important word in verse 10 is created, as in created in Christ Jesus. It is the word for creation that is used only of God and refers to the creative energy that only God can exert. Which brings me to our fourth truth. Salvation is a divine creation, not an evolution. I'll repeat that. Salvation is a divine creation, not an evolution. Salvation is experienced in a moment of time, like Zacchaeus, whose experience we read about in Luke chapter 19, verse 9. Or as experienced by Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, as we are told in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Create means to bring something out of nothing, and only God can create. Humans cannot create anything on their own, not even an insect or a sunbeam. Our new nature is of God. It is not reformed or remade. It is new. The old is gone. We are new persons in Christ. And this provides for new relationships in life as the new people of God. And this can only be by God's gracious doing. Our fifth truth is found in verse 8, which says, you are saved by grace. It is important to see the network of here. Salvation is by grace through faith. Let me repeat that. Verse 8 says, you are saved by God's grace. So it is important to see the network. Salvation is by grace through faith. Faith is a means by which we appropriate salvation. Faith is the hand that receives the gift. Faith means to trust or to rely on. John Calvin, the founder of our Presbyterian heritage, said, "Faith brings a man empty to God, that he may be filled with the blessings of Christ." Saving faith has three parts. Faith is hearing, faith is accepting the truth that you hear, and faith is committing yourself to that truth. It's like the sailor trusting the compass and the stars to safely navigate the open waters. It's like a patient trusting his or her doctor. It's like a passenger trusting the pilot of a plane. To be saved, we must trust Jesus to save us. Verse 10 says, "We are created in Christ Jesus to do good things." And this is why we are created in Christ Jesus. Which brings me to my next truth. The purpose of salvation is twofold. The first is that God purposes good works in our lives. I'll repeat that. The purpose of salvation is twofold. The first is that God purposes good works in our lives. Good works affirm the reality of salvation because we prove our faith by our works. But these good works are not something that we came up with on our own. These good works are not human works. They are works that God prepared beforehand for us to do. They are eternal works that relate to God's eternal plan. They are works like those that Jesus did. They are prepared works, as the word ordain means. We do not manufacture these works ourselves. Rather, God works in us and through us. As verse 10 says, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. My next truth is this. The second purpose of salvation is that God purposes a new walk for believers. I'll repeat that. The second purpose of salvation is that God purposes a new walk for believers. This new walk in doing God's good works should be our way of life. In fact, walk for a Christian means the way that we live out our faith in our lives. Verse 10 goes on to say, God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. This new walk, this new way of life that we live out our faith in our lives should bring glory to God. I'd like us to consider this example. There was a Christian woman who often visited a nursing home near her house. And one day she noticed a lonely man sitting and staring at his dinner tray. And in a kindly manner she asked, "Is there something wrong?" And the man said, "Is there something wrong?" "Yes, there's something wrong. I'm a Jew and I can't eat this food." So she said to him, "What would you like to have?" He said, "I would like a bowl of hot soup." So she went home and she prepared the soup. And after getting permission from the director of the nursing home, she took it to the man. And then in succeeding weeks, she often visited him and she brought him the kind of food that he enjoyed. Eventually, she led him to faith in Christ. You see, even preparing soup can be a spiritual sacrifice. It can be a good work to the glory of God. It's the grace of salvation continuing to give. Which leads me to the final truth I'd like to share with you this morning. The strength of our salvation and our continuing in good works lies in the grace of God. I'll repeat that. The strength of our salvation and of our continuing in good works lies in the grace of God. By God's grace, our lives have new dimensions. Grace enables us to sit in heavenly places in Christ's authority. Grace enables us to walk on earth in Christ-like service. This is what salvation by grace is all about. Are you still in the predicament of a sinner? Or are you enjoying the position of a Christian believer? You can trust Christ and be saved. Amen.